So the title of what I'm going to be sharing with you today is Going from Super Mom to a Super Mom. Many of us mothers like to put on this costume. We wear this costume around of Super Mom. We try to act like we're Super Mom. It's very heavy, too. It's a heavy costume. And when we put it on, I'm going to call it the mask of omniscience that we wear. Omniscience is a big word that means really all science or all knowledge. And as mothers, sometimes we mistakenly think that we have to know it all, right? For example, before I had children, Jeff and I got married, we didn't have any children, and I had the pleasure of taking a babysitting job, okay? And I didn't really know anything at all about mothering, and especially not about disciplining children. I was clueless. Well, what this babysitting job did for me is it kind of pushed me into that class of discipline. I had to learn to discipline because I was babysitting Ryan, not the Ryan in here, this other kid, Ryan. This is in Pennsylvania. And I knew that this was going to be a tough job as I approached the mobile home door. And before I knocked, I could hear his parents swearing at each other. The fight had already been started early in the morning. I came in, the mom's like, well, do you think you could teach Ryan a few Sunday school songs? And I'm like, oh boy, that's going to be really hard because anything that I do isn't going to have as much effect as what a parent does. At least I knew that much then. I'm like, I'll try teaching him a few Sunday school songs. But you know, the babysitter, the Sunday school teachers, everybody else doesn't have as much of effect on a child as the parents do, right? But anyways, God used this time to help me to learn what I didn't know at all, anything about disciplining. And I got James Dobson's books, and I was reading them. As I read them outside, when I kept Ryan outside, he was about 3 years old, I would be reading the book with one eye and watching Ryan out of the other eye. What I learned about discipline was that I had to double check on him all the time. I had to redirect him at all moments because you couldn't trust him to be let go by himself. And he used to, you know, say every word in the book that you can think of to me. So it gave me a lot of practice on learning how to discipline. And I followed Ryan after I quit babysitting for him. I followed as he grew up, kind of checked on him, and he actually ended up going in the military, which like put the final, you know, finish on everything. So he turned out all right. But we as parents, we don't know it all, right? And sometimes we think, well, I should have known that already. I should have known how to do that. But we have to learn. Only God possesses all knowledge. Only God is omniscient. We use this word sometimes in theology, this big word, to describe God. Job says in chapter 21, verse 22, can anyone teach knowledge to God since he judges even the highest? Only God can know everything, mothers. So we don't have to wear that mask of knowing everything. We can learn new things. Okay, and it's interesting that that this word is describing God, all science. Okay, so God knows everything about science that there is to know already. If you start with the Bible, you will not go off track when you're exploring His creation through science. But as human beings, sometimes we don't know everything there is to know, do we? Like, for example, do you remember when we learned that Pluto wasn't a planet anymore? Do you remember that a few years back? Yeah. So I had been teaching for many years. My very educated mother just served us 9 pizzas so that, you know, everybody would be able to know all the planets in order. And pizzas meant Pluto. And all of a sudden, I can't say pizzas anymore because Pluto isn't a planet, because human scientists discovered that Pluto really wasn't a planet. So in science, even scientists don't know everything. They're discovering new things. They're rethinking what they're thinking. But you know what? We serve a God who knows all science. He's omniscient. Okay, another thing that we moms tend to do, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that feels like I put on this costume of, you know, super mom or dad or super grandma. You know, we put this pressure on ourselves. And super moms, we put on this cape of omnipresence. This for me was a very heavy cape. Omnipresence, this is a word about God. It means omni, means everywhere, presence, everywhere present. As mothers, we think we have to be present all at the same time everywhere, don't we? You know, you have 3-4 children, they're in 2 different sports, and they have to be at all these things. And you know, you have that feeling like, I have to be everywhere all at once. I can't do this. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, this happened to me when I first started homeschooling. 2 of our children were in middle school and 1 was in grade school, and the Lord called us to homeschool. And not long after I got started, I quit. It was the first day that I quit homeschooling. The first time that I quit during the period that we did homeschool. So it happened right next door over here. If you've ever been in there, there's a big staircase. And our children each had their own bedroom. So they were each in their own bedroom, and they all decided to call for my help at once. Help, we need you. We don't understand this, you know. And I got up to the top of the stairs, and I had a mommy meltdown. I had a major mommy meltdown. I quit. I can't do this. I didn't know how to handle it. Jeff had to intervene. He had to tell them, you know, your mom will be helping you. So part of the way that we dealt with it was through communication and saying, you're going to have to wait. You know, you'll have to wait in line because your mom can't be everywhere at once. Can you relate to that, you moms? Only God can be everywhere at once. So let's take off this cape, this heavy cape that we feel like we can fly around and be everywhere. We only need to be where God calls us to be specifically at each time. Isaiah says about God in chapter 40, verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand, marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? God, only God, is everywhere present to be able to do this in his big universe. And do you notice these words that I put in blue? Measured, marked off, held, weighed. Do you see this picture that Isaiah is making of God as this big scientist up there measuring things off? He can weigh mountains if he wants to. He's so big. His presence is everywhere. It's through all of the galaxies. His presence is just permeating out through beyond time, right? We aren't. So let's just throw off that cape that we sometimes put on, feeling like we're God, really. Okay. Whoops. There we go. Another thing that we super moms put on and wear around as one of our costume pieces is the belt of omnipotence. Omnipotence. This means all powerful. As mothers, we think that we have to be all powerful, okay? In the natural, when you're a young mother, you have a lot of natural energy and natural power. I know I had a lot. I had so much early on, I would just like shake and stuff and try to get out. And this is one of the reasons why I love the trampoline so much, because it helped me get out some of that extra energy. I just had so much natural energy, okay? But some of you know, about 3 years ago, I decided that rather than go listen to Dr. Ben Carson, I would go to Sky Zone, the trampoline park, with our daughters and granddaughters. I thought that was a better choice. So I ended up seeing a different orthopedic surgeon because of that choice. Yeah, so on my 3rd flip at Sky Zone, I'm going up in the air and I hear a pop. And yes, I snapped my ACL in half. I did the flip anyways and came down and damaged both my lateral ligaments as well at the same time. So I went and listened to my orthopedic surgeon, and I had to do what he told me, and I wasn't allowed to get on a trampoline ever again, he said. So the funny thing about that, it was a turning point, because all of that energy that I had, in that youthful energy that was natural, it was like a turning point. It just left. I didn't have it anymore. It was like, oh man, everything just slowed down. I was like, oh my word, I can't keep up with anything. So once again, I was reminded that I needed to take off my belt of omnipotence. We don't even have a lot of natural power. Eventually, we lose it. If you're a young mother and you feel like that excess energy like I did, you're gonna lose it someday. Only God has complete power transcending time, okay? Abraham knew that. Abraham knew about God's power, okay? Paul wrote about Abraham, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was almost 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. All right, postmenopausal Sarah? Yeah. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise, but was strengthened in his faith. You can lose natural power, but you can be strengthened in your faith, and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This omnipotence comes from God alone. You could be past childbearing age. You could have one foot in the grave. But if God has given you a promise, he has all power to complete it. It's his power. It's not our power. Oops. Oops. Okay, I will do this more gently. Okay, another thing that we super moms wear is this dress of immutability. And that's really a big theological word that means not changeable. Sometimes we're stubborn and we resist the change that God wants to bring into our lives. This basic, significant alteration of who we are, we're resisting it. We're like, well, you know, I've always been an angry German all my life. Or, you know, whatever thing that we say about ourselves, and we resist this change. God doesn't care what culture you come from. He is making you into the image of his son, okay? So when we do this and we wear this coat of our own, this we put on this dress of our own, and we say, well, I'm not going to change. And it's fake. It's just this outer thing. God wants to do this inward, deep change. As mothers, we think we can't change much or at all. Well, I've got news for you. We can, okay? The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. Now think about this. If God is all big and all powerful and he doesn't change, and we start getting closer into his presence, you're going to change. The closer you get to him, change has to happen. And this is the right kind of change, right? It's not entropy and science where everything's like going towards, you know, disorder and everything. We are going to be changed into his image as we get closer to him. It's just going to happen. He is so big and powerful. He is immutable. So when you get close to him, he's not going to change. So we have to, ladies. Only God cannot change. So if I am not super mom, then who am I? These four characteristics that I just talked to you about that belong to God alone, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, and immutability, those are off limits to humans. Those are characteristics that only God can have. These and even more, there are others. If you want to look into this a little more and see what other characteristics set God apart from humans, you can. I challenge you to do that. These characteristics set him apart from limited, small human mothers like us. Isn't that good to know? If I am not, cannot possibly be supermom, then who am I? What does it mean to be the kind of mom God designed? Ladies, God designed you to be a super mom, a very good, excellent, outstanding, marvelous, wonderful, glorious, and way above the average mom. He really, really designed you for that. We're going to look at the best super mom ever as our example today, so that I can tell you about three characteristics that we can have. They aren't off limits. In fact, God looks very favorably upon these three characteristics and says, now that is a super mom. And we learn about her in Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be.
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How old was me since I was still a virgin?"
"The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail."
"I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said."
And then the angel left her.
Who thinks Mary, the Messiah's mother, may be a good example of a super mom, an above average mom? Yeah, the first thing that we notice about Mary is her question to the angel. This shows that she's very intelligent. She asks God's messenger a great question. This reveals her above average intelligence. What is going on here? Oh. Okay. She bases the first half of her question on belief. How will this be? How will this be? That is a great question, isn't it? In other words, how is God going to do this? You've just been told that you're going to bear a son, you know, and his kingdom's never going to end. So she says, how will this be? How is God going to do this? The angel answers her. He tells her the answer. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. There's the answer. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. We're allowed to ask questions, lady. We're allowed to ask good questions. Now, she asked such a great question, the angel doesn't stop there. He gives her additional information. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. She didn't know that Elizabeth was pregnant. The angel gives her additional information at her great question. Now I'm going to contrast her question with Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah's question earlier in the chapter. Okay? Earlier in the chapter 1 of Luke, Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and told him about the great son he would have. And what does Zechariah ask? How can I be sure of this? Do you hear the difference? Faith is being sure or certain of what you cannot see. He's not certain. He's asking a doubtful question. How can I be certain of what you're saying? How can I be sure of what you're saying? And then he gives a really good reason. I am an old man, and my wife is along in years. That seems like a pretty reasonable reason why he might be doubting. But his doubtful question leads to his silence. Okay? God makes it so he can't speak because he wasn't really trusting what God said. God puts him in a timeout. Okay? You know that discipline I was talking about earlier? Okay, you know, God's our Father. He's like, all right, Zechariah, you're doubting what I'm telling you. I'm going to put you in a timeout till it happens, and then you'll know for sure that this was true. Okay. Oops. Mary gives the reason for her question in the second half of her question. Since I am a virgin, that's the reason why she asked the question. How can God do this since I am a virgin? That's her reason. She recognizes natural law. Okay? She's heard about the birds and the bees, and she's been to biology class. She knows this can't happen in the natural way, right? If you know about the birds and the bees, that's not going to happen when you're a virgin. Also in this reason, she takes a personal belief stand. She's like, how can this happen? Because I'm a virgin, pretty much, and I'm going to stay that way till I'm married, so how is this going to happen? She could make this happen in the natural. If she breaks God's boundary of no sex outside of covenant marriage, she was engaged to be married, and you had to have a certificate of divorce to get out of the engagement, but the final covenant hadn't been made, so she was still a virgin, and she was making a statement. I'm staying this way, so I don't know how this is going to happen, because I'm not breaking God's law. She could trespass past his boundary into adultery to make it happen. She will not compromise. This is the super mom who brought Jesus into the world. She knows the story of Abraham, and she isn't making the same mistake. Now, Abraham had the faith to believe, but remember what he did? He tried to make it happen in his own natural way, rather than letting the supernatural way of God make it happen. He tried to make it happen. She knows that story. She isn't going to make the same mistake. This is one intelligent lady, right? Okay, so I would like to demonstrate the contrast between these two questions, between Mary's question and Zechariah's question. And in order to do this, I need a volunteer mom from the audience. Do I have a volunteer mom? One right here? Come on up. Only one volunteer. I saw that hand go right up.
I'm the only mom.
Come right up here. Okay, so I'm going to give her two choices, and the rest of this sermon is going to go in a certain way depending on which question she chooses. You know how you read those books?
Whoa, that's a lot of pressure.
Don't worry. It'll be all right either way, okay? All right, so I'm going to tell you something. Okay, I'm going to tell you something, and then you're going to pick one of two questions to ask me. You can either ask me, how are you going to do this? Okay. Or you can ask me, how can I be sure you will do this? Okay, and that will affect the rest of this sermon. Okay,
Sorry, how it plays out.
Okay, so what I'd like to tell you is I would like to do something really surprising for you today, something really great. I would like to make your Mother's Day more special, and I would like it to be full of beauty, the beauty of God's creation. I would like it to smell really wonderful for you. Okay, well.
How are you going to do that?
I am going to tell you to go over to that chair over there, and do you see that sheet with the flowers on it? I want you to take the sheet off and then lift up what's under there and then bring it back up here. Okay? Come back up here. All right, well, since you trusted me so much, you can leave this here. I'll watch it for you. I also want you to, or you can take it with you. I promise. If you trusted me the first time, I know you trust me. I would like you to go around the corner in the hallway. There's an oval table, and there's something in a plastic bag that you get from the grocery store. I want you to have that too. Go ahead and get it, okay? Now, whenever God tells us something, it's good. We serve a good God. It is good. Whatever He gives us, it's going to be good. You can trust Him. What is Christina doing? Okay, so do you think that's beautiful?
Absolutely.
Yep, they're yours.
Thank
now,
you.
By the way, both of these creations of God will die. This one will be crucified, and this one will be beheaded. Do you still want them?
Yes.
Okay, they're yes. yours. Enjoy. Because God alone is omniscient, Super Mother Mary had to use good questioning to understand better. We are encouraged by God to ask good questions. Yeah. Guys, this is for you too. When God speaks personally to you or me, He will not break His own laws to accomplish it. He will not break His own laws to accomplish it. He will, however, supernaturally work to accomplish whatever He promises. He will supernaturally work to accomplish whatever He promises. Okay? So the second characteristic that Mary, gave away the third one, that Mary demonstrated in her question and her answer to her response to the angel was, she said, after her great question, she said, "I am the Lord's servant." Luke 1:38. She was humble. She didn't say, "I am the Lord's queen," or "I am the Lord's princess." She didn't even say, "I am the Lord's daughter." She said, "I am the Lord's servant." The position of a servant is a low position, okay? Kings have servants. Remember, the angel told Mary her son would reign over a kingdom that will never end. I want to take you back to the story that Pastor Jeff used when he was just doing his series on how to worship the king. He used this story. It was out of 1 Kings chapter 1, where King David is nearing the end of his life, and he's cold, and they have Abishag try to keep him warm. Remember that? He's already said that Solomon, his son, would take his place on the throne. Okay? But in verse 5 of chapter 1 of 1 Kings, another son decides to do something. And it says, now Adonijah, who was another one of David's sons, put himself forward and said, "I will be king." True servants of God's king do not promote themselves. Right. true servants of God's King do not promote themselves. They don't have to. You don't have to. That all-powerful God, he's right up there. If he says something, he will supernaturally do what he has said. Okay, Nathan the prophet, going on in that story, Nathan the prophet tells Solomon's mom to call herself your servant. Okay? Solomon's mom is Bathsheba. He's like, call yourself your servant when you speak with the king, David. She does so in the story. Furthermore, she tells the king, but he, Adonijah, your other son, has not invited Solomon, your servant, not your son, your servant. He was setting himself up as king. He had this other thing going on that wasn't a part of God's plan. It all looked good. He had all these people following him. He was doing all the right things, you know, that looked like a king would do, but God had not said it. So Nathan the prophet refers to himself as your servant too and asks a great and intelligent question to King David. Is this something my lord the king has done without letting his servants know who should sit on the throne of the lord the king after him? That's a great question. True servants of God's king know the king's business. Okay? When you're a servant, you know the king's business. Think about this. When you're in the castle or wherever they live, the servants are going around, they're serving, they're doing everything. They're hearing what's going on. They know everything that's going on. They know the king's business. A son might not even know all the king's business, but the servants sure know. True prophets in God's kingdom advise servanthood the way that Nathan did. You know, refer yourself to a servant. Take the low position. This was one of the great characteristics that supermom Mary had too. They know, true prophets know that we need to stay grounded. When you hear this great word from God, listen. Mary's like, the angel tells her, you know, you're going to have a son. His kingdom's never going to end. We need to stay grounded when we hear such great things from God. We need to stay in that position of a servant. Paul did. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Before he even said what his calling was, it was just a part of who he was. He was a servant at the ground level, okay? Once King David finds out what is going on behind his back, he makes his servant son Solomon the true king. Adonijah tries and fails one last time to sneak his way into position. He's like, oh, they're calling themselves servants? Okay, oh, I am your servant. So he calls himself a servant after that and still tries to sneak in there. Rather than just being humble and being a servant, no, he wanted to promote himself. Self-promoters never inherit God's kingdom thrones. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. Self-promoters never inherit God's kingdom thrones. The third characteristic that Jesus' mother Mary had that we can have as mothers, because she wasn't God, right? She only was God's mother in the natural, is she was accepting. You hear this in her response. May it be to me as you have said. Mary's acceptance was not blind acceptance. She has already been told how it will supernaturally happen and has been given some additional information. To accept means to consent to receive, not forced, and to come to recognize as valid or correct. God doesn't force us, okay? She had to be convinced. That's why she started out with the question. She had her mind changed and expanded. After he gave her the answer, it's like, oh, okay, all right, you're going to work it out supernaturally with the Holy Spirit. I see that now. He gives her some additional information about Elizabeth, and she actually goes and visits, and that information is proven true. Acceptance is a passive response. Acceptance is a passive response. We're receiving. It's not something we have to do, right? When we accept from God, it's passive. Since acceptance is passive, it must be discriminatory. Since acceptance is passive, it must be discriminatory. Mary did not receive Satan's words, her own words, someone else's words. The only words she received were from God's true messenger. Moms, if you want to be a super mom, you need to discriminate among the voices that you hear. You can't believe everything that you hear. The only voice that you passively can receive without any resistance is God's voice. And through a lot of experience, you can learn to hear his voice. His sheep know his voice. She had learned to discriminate among the many voices. It was not blind acceptance. Another way of saying what Mary said is, "Not my will, but thy will be done," to the Father of all. Jesus had a great example in his mother. When God speaks, we can accept it, just like Mary, mothers. Who wants to be more like Jesus' mom? Yeehaw! Jesus' mom, yeehaw, she was intelligent. She was humble. She was accepting. She was a true super mom. She was very good, excellent, outstanding, marvelous, wonderful, glorious, and way above average. That is what God wants for you, okay? He does want you to be a super mom with these characteristics. He doesn't want you trying to take his characteristics that you are only not allowed to have, but you can't have. It's impossible. All right, sometimes, ladies, I think in the intelligence thing, we give ourselves not enough room for what God has done for us. He's given us two hemispheres to our brain, for Pete's sakes. That's not one way that we're different from men, okay? So don't sell yourself short. You can be very intelligent, ladies, and you know your brain and your heart are connected, along with your mouth. Those things are connected. So you want it working well, right? Okay, and to be a super mom, you can be humble, okay? Just a humble servant. You know about this when you're at home. Yeah, don't despise that position of servanthood that you have when you're washing the dishes or whatever other type of servant things that you do. This is part of being a super mom. Today, we have the opportunity to turn away from trying to be like God in ways that are off limits and truly impossible. No more trying to be omniscient and all-knowing. No more trying to be omnipotent and all-powerful. No more of being trying to feel like I have to be everywhere at once. No more of resisting the kind of change that God wants from us. If you are ready today to be transformed, ladies, transformed, change into more of a super mom, the kind of mom that Jesus had, then I would like you to stand up today. And if you would like to, you can even come forward while Heidi sings a song. I want this to be between you and God, where maybe you were convicted about wearing that costume, where you're trying to be God-like in ways that just aren't working. But you would like to have your intelligence developed. You have sold yourself short on how much intelligence God has given you. You aren't using all of that brain that God has given you. And he wants to change you today. He wants to transform you. You know you haven't been a humble servant. You've put yourself forward and tried to make stuff happen instead of waiting on God. Today's the day to be transformed, to stop doing that. You know you aren't as accepting as Mary was. God tells you something and you just resist it and push it away and don't receive that. Today is the day to be transformed.
Thank you.
And may the presence of the Holy Spirit come upon you. And may the power of the Most High overshadow you, that there will be a transformation and you will be made more into a mother like Mary, Jesus' mother. Have a wonderful Mother's Day, all you mothers. Thank you. Christine. You are dismissed. But hang around for a while, if you can, in the Welcome Center. Talk to the Nutters.